today's message, number two, is tomorrow never comes. Can you say that with me? Tomorrow never comes. If you're visiting today, you've never been here before, we use the big screen. All the scriptures will be up there. Certainly we ask you to turn along in your Bible if you would like. And then Roger the Dodger Johnson takes my message. He jazzes it all up and you'll see graphics, and that's how we can learn a little better. Okay? So that's the way we do things. And so we ask you to join in with us right now. So tomorrow never comes is the title of this message. Here's a poem. I don't do a lot of poems, but this was a good one. Here we go. Tomorrow by Edward Guest. He was going to be all that a mortal should be tomorrow. No one should ever be kinder or braver than he tomorrow. A friend who was troubled and weary, he knew, who'd be glad of a lift and who needed it too, on him he would call and see what he could do tomorrow. Each morning he stacked up the letters he'd write tomorrow and thought of the folks he would feel with delight tomorrow. It was too bad indeed. He was busy today and hadn't a minute to stop on his way. More time he would have to give others, he'd say. When? Tomorrow. The greatest works of this man would have been tomorrow. The world would have known him had he ever seen tomorrow. But the fact is he died and he faded from view. And all that he left here when living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do. Help me. Tomorrow. Tomorrow. Amen? We're talking about 24. It's all I have. And so I've got three things I want to say today, and we're going to get to them shortly. 3 points. The first two are going to go quick. The last one is going to take a little longer. Okay? And that's the plan this morning. Let's keep looking. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Amen? James chapter 4, verse 14. "Whereas you don't know what's going to be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It's a vapor, man, that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. It's gone." Amen? Tomorrow. I'm telling you. It's what the Bible teaches, clear as a whistle. Tomorrow really never comes. What does that mean? Well, tomorrow will be today. Uh-oh, let's talk to them. Amen. Amen. We forget that sometimes. Amen. Here we go. Come on, listen, listen. Tomorrow really never comes because once it gets here, we'll be in today again. And I know that's crazy talk for some of you, but it's the truth. You may as well live today, like it's going to be your last day. Tomorrow's the only day that really appeals to the lazy man. Can you say that with me? Tomorrow's the only day that really appeals to the lazy man. I'll get her done then. I'll get around to it then. Oh, let's just go ahead and go back to sleep. We'll do it tomorrow. Amen? Oh, the lazy man loves tomorrow. I'm going to hush though. Come on, here we go. Tomorrow is seductive and deceitful. It will lull you into its grip. Tomorrow. You can do it tomorrow. Come on. Tomorrow will be fine. I'm telling you, tomorrow never comes. Amen? Come on. Here we go. 3 things. Oh, you're going to love this morning. Here we go. I'm not going to stay long on this first one because I think we know what it is. Say it with me, that big P word. I got 3 P's for you this morning. Say it with me. Procrastination. What's procrastination? It means putting things off. Alright? So just a few thoughts for you this morning. Quit putting things off that you can do today. Keep going. So just quit putting things off you can do today. Problems, say this with me, this is important. Problems become smaller if you tackle them head on. Y'all hear that? Say. I was watching the ball game the other night. Florida State and Clemson. Oh, I know. I'm waving at you. I know. The Kings, that they just love Clemson. He just happened to go to Clemson. Amen. Both of y'all? Y'all, just okay. You went to Clemson. Okay. And yeah, you just had to go back every year always with him, don't you? Yes, ma'am. Anyway, so I was watching the ball game the other night. And here's what the coach said. The defensive coach. This is what he said about Clemson. There's 2 boys that are in the backfield. For Clemson. You know what the nicknames are? Right here. Thunder and Lightning. Alright? Remember, problems, it's better to tackle problems head on. Amen? And so the coach told these boys this right here. He said, let me tell you something, son. These boys are so quick, they're so fast, they're so crazy, they're so wild. He says this, you better grab these boys any way you can. And then he said this to them right here. You see orange, say it with me. You grab it. Say it with me one more time. You see orange, you grab it. And that's the way we ought to look at life. If there's problems, if there's opportunities. Man, if you see orange, say it with me. You grab it! A lot of defenses, defensive players try to get a little too smart. And they try to figure out what the running back's going to do. And they think, well, no, he's a juker. He juke a little this way. He going to juke a little this way. And why are you thinking that old boy's done burned you? He's left you in the dust. The best way, you see orange, say it with me again. You grab it. And I believe it would have been a different ball game the other night, sorry, if they'd have done that. Amen? Come on! Procrastination. Handling problems head on today instead of putting them off. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. There's a juke. And there you are laying, holding you in your hand. Amen? Come on. That's what it's about. Look at it. Procrastination. There's a story Jesus told, and it might not be the perfect procrastination story, but the Lord laid it on my heart, and I just want to share it with you. I'm not going to preach it. We're going through this real fast. You'll see some points pop up. Here we go. Let's read it. Mark 13, verse 31. Jesus said, heaven and earth are going to pass away. Say that with me. But my word shall not pass away. Listen, we ought to say this. I'll read God's word today because it's the only sure thing I have. There's only 24 hours in a day. You sleep 6 or 8 of them. Okay? And then you're up. Why in the world can't you say today, I'm going to read God's Word? I'm not saying read all the Bible the first day. My mother had an 11th grade education. Rockingham, North Carolina. She certainly was not a reader at all. And you know what? Mama started reading the Bible. And you know what? If you'll start reading the Bible, you might find you a nugget that'll carry your tail all the way to heaven. And that's what Mama did. She found Romans 8:28 when she was reading. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. She found just what she needed. Amen? And you can do that, but you got to make the effort. Okay, today. But at that day and hour knows no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. We don't know when Jesus is coming again. We also don't know if we might meet Him today. Amen? If something happens to us, say that with me. Today's the only day I know for sure that I have. Okay, keep looking at this passage. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. We could say this today. I'm going to watch and I'm going to pray today. Amen? Why not? Why put it off? I'll be a good Christian next week. What's that? Amen? Come on. Jesus keeps talking, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house. He gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. I'm a servant of God. I'll work for Him today. Amen? Why not, if you've got somebody you can do good for today in Jesus' name, why not do it today? Well, I'll be good to my neighbor tomorrow. Why not today? What keeps you from doing that today? Serving Him today. Amen? Why not? I would. It's the right thing to do. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at evening or midnight or the cock crowing or the morning. We don't know when we're going to see Him. Lest coming suddenly He find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Say that last word with me. Watch. Can you say that last word line over there? I will be awake today. Amen? I'll be awake today in this day that I'm living in. So procrastination is the first thing, because tomorrow never comes. The second thing is this morning, and hang in here with me. Prognostication. Can you say, you didn't know I knew a word that big, did you? Here we go. Prognostication. So procrastination is putting things off. Prognostication is this. It's thinking too hard and thinking too long about the future. Good grief. Move. Do something. You know what I'm saying? We can think things. I'm all for thinking. I know you might not think that sometimes. But I'm for thinking. But sometimes you can just think too long. The Chinese say it this way. And I don't put up many Chinese proverbs. This might be it. Amen? Here we go. He who deliberates fully before taking a step will spend his whole life on one leg. You look like a pogo stick. Do something. You know what I mean? Planning for the future. I'm going to do this then. When? When? You know? Come on. I had a blessing this week. I got two postcards this week. One was of an empty beach chair. It was from my imaginary friend, Earl. Yeah, Fabian gave that to me. And we also had one of swimming, right? He was swimming. We saw a beautiful picture of the ocean. Of course, we didn't see Earl, but he was there. My imaginary friend. Amen. If you don't know that, he shows up sometimes and I get upset with him. I think he almost showed up right there. But anyway, that's another story. Here we go. Prognostication. Tomorrow never really comes, man. You don't know the future. I don't know the future. Let's look at some scripture. Jesus gave this story, and I think this one hits the nail on the head. Look at this one. Listen to Jesus in Luke 12. He said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Life's more than stuff." Usually we're planning for the future because all this stuff. Well, if you die today, that stuff ain't going to mean a dime's worth of nothing. Amen? It's all right to plan. Good night. I know we've all known people, especially our seniors, have known people that plan. They work hard. They got to Florida. They died. Whoa! It's okay to plan, but don't, while you're planning, plan too much that you can't live now. This man spoke, Jesus spoke a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, this rich man, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.'" It's what God thinks, it's not what I think. You can plan all day long, but what does God think? Amen? Why don't you know what He says to do now and do it now? Won't you start right there? You might find you'll get a little further along if you do that. And this man said, "This will I do. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." It's what God wants me to do. It's not what I want to do. Instead of prognosticating, why don't you start getting you some black and white and find out what God wants you to do. Amen? "And I'll say to my soul, 'Soul, you have as much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all those things be which thou hast provided?'" It's how long God knows I have, not how long I think I have. Did y'all get that today or no? So procrastination, quit putting things off. Prognostication, quit planning so much that you miss today. How many are like that? Some of you be guilty of that. Let me just put a hand up there. You've done that before, amen? Well, I'm going to get all my ducks in a row. Help us here. Live, man. Live. It's a struggle. It's hard for folks like me and many of you like us that have children. You're working, and God's told us as a husband to be the provider, to take care of the needs of our family. But I tell you what, you can do that so much that you miss your children. They grow up. They're gone. You're going to Carrabba's. They're 20! Amen. And your baby's a senior in high school. Live today. I don't see why in the world every family member, every family in here couldn't tell each other and their children every day that you love them. Why in the world are you so busy to do that? I think that's a horrible sin if you live your day and you don't tell the ones you love them. How many remember the old Garth Brooks song? "If tomorrow never comes." Remember that song? Hey, tomorrow never comes, man. Tell them today. Don't plan always just for the future. Thinking so long and fantasizing about tomorrow will cause you to miss the wonderful moments of today. So live today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord this morning. Can we do that right now? Let's just praise Him. Praise the Lord. Come on. Praise the Lord. Now here's where we're heading. Here's where we're heading. And we got good time. If y'all get ready now, come on. We're going to go after thunder and lightning right now. Y'all ready? Here we go. So I think you knew about procrastination. I think you know about prognostication. But I think a lot of us struggle with Preparation. And that's our last word. And I'm going to park it right there for a few minutes with you. Preacher, I need to know how to live my day. And that's what we're going to try to learn right now. We're going to try to learn how can I make the best out of today. We picked a couple, Adam and Eve. We picked two giants of the faith, Moses and David. And we're going to look at them, and you'll see some things on the screen, and I think you're going to enjoy this and get something out of it. So let's start right here. Would you read this with me? It's got to get in your noggin. Here we go. By preparing, making right decisions today, you won't have to be repairing, fixing wrong decisions tomorrow. Can y'all help me now? Come on, if you want to have a good day. Here we go, come on. By preparing, that's making right decisions today, you won't have to be repairing, fixing wrong decisions tomorrow. So let's go with this now and see what we're going to find. We're going to start out with Adam and Eve. We're not going to do the whole Bible, but it's going to be some Scripture, serious Scripture here. Genesis 2:16 and 17. The Lord had God commanded the man saying, of every tree of the garden you can freely eat, but of the tree, one, of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day you eat of it, you're going to surely die. Are we all right so far? Say. Okay? And the woman said unto the serpent, so Satan came and tempted Eve and Adam. So the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, say it with me, ye shall not surely die. And I think that's what a lot of you people are thinking. You got tomorrow. You ain't got tomorrow. It's the only day you know you got. For God knows, the serpent says, that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Let's fast forward real fast, Raj. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit, and she did eat of it. She gave it to her husband, and he ate. Alright? God said, you do it, you're going to die. Let's read the Bible, fast forward, see what they said. Here it is. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. Can you read that last part with me? And he died. Preparation. First thing, Adam and Eve. Let's look to see what they teach us. Real quick. Here it is. Do right. Do right. Do right. Good grief. Look at the big planet we've got. Look at all the things we get to do that are right. Isn't there plenty of things in the world we can do that's right? Say, why don't we do right? They had every tree you could eat of all of them. Don't eat of that one. I'm going to eat of that one. You want to have a great day today. You want to make preparation. You'll be preparing today so you ain't having to fix tomorrow. Won't you do right today? Y'all listening? Say, do right today. Stop whining. Do right. Boom. Next thing, stay away from forbidden things. Can you say that with me? Stay away from forbidden things. Good grief. I know there's a lot more good things in this world than there are forbidden things. But if it's forbidden, according to the Word of God, according to a good conscience, then why not go, I don't need that today. It's the only day I got. Why I got to go hanging out over here doing some forbidden thing when this could be the only day I got? Look at the third thing. Partaking of good things makes for good days. Could you say that with me? Partaking of good things makes for a good day. Some people never have a good day. Why don't you just start partaking of good things? Good things. I believe it with all my heart. If you start living like that, your days are going to get better. Amen? Do right. Stay away from the forbidden stuff. And partake of good things. Change your life. Let's look at another one. Moses. Man, Moses, in my view, and I think most people would say, he's the greatest leader of all time. Moses, the greatest leader of all time. If Moses had problems with his today, then don't you think we might go and have some problem with ours? Let's learn from Moses this morning. Let's see what he did. He was a great leader. It's coming up on the end of his life. He's about to go into the promised land. He's got the biggest pains in the rear end he's been leading for years. And he's about to go over, man. And here's what happens. You never know what tomorrow's going to bring. Come on. Verse 2. There was no water for the congregation. This has happened before. They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. So the people came against Moses. The people chode with him. I mean, they just got on his back. And they said, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. So they're just being, oh my gosh, so difficult to work with. And they said, why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness that we and our cattle should die here? And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. So far, it's a good day, ain't it? Other than these folks, Moses and Aaron's doing right. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now listen carefully. Moses, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. Now I don't know if y'all got how simple that was. They prayed before Moses had his problem and he hit the rock because God told him to. They're about to go in the land. God says, this time I want you to speak to that rock because they need to see that before their eyes. Amen? That's the plan. Pretty simple plan. Is that good? Say. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, just like God told them. And he said unto them, hear ye now, ye rebels, Moses talking, must we fetch you water out of the rock? Hang on. Did God tell him to give the Israelites a piece of his mind? Yes or no? Should he have done it? Did he feel like doing it? Yeah. Were there pain in the neck? Mm-hmm. That wasn't what he told him to do. So Moses is frustrated. He's upset. He gives him a piece of his mind. He calls him a rebel. And Moses lifts up his hand with his rod and he smote the rock. Boom! Boom! Twice. Did God tell him to hit the rock? Yes or no? Did he tell him to hit it one time? Did he tell him to hit it two times? No. He told him to speak to the rock. And the water came out abundantly. It worked, though, didn't it? Look, boom, boom, water. Look at it. Is that what God told him to do? Isn't it good that we've got a God that in spite of our mess and junk and stuff like that, He still works with us? Amen? That doesn't mean you're not going to pay the piper. All right? So the water came out and the congregation drank and their beast also. It's a good story, right? No, it's not a good story. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron. He said, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I've given them. Can you believe that? Moses had served God. He had gone before Pharaoh. He had worked with this crazy bunch of people for years and years and years. And he does one blessed thing wrong and God doesn't let him go in. Doesn't that seem harsh? Say. The deal is this, God's God and you're not. This is the only day you've got. Why don't you do the right thing today, amen? Don't get so out of whack today. And that's what happened in the story. Moses lost it. He was one of the greatest leaders of all time, but he lost it. He was ticked off. He was angry. And that leads me to this point, preparation. Can you say that with me? Act right. Do right. But act right. I'm guilty of this. It's certainly not just kids that throw temper tantrums. Amen? That's just stupid, guys. Especially guys. Ladies, too. It's crazy. We need to act right. Our actions can ruin somebody's today. How many folks you've been eating at the dinner table? And somebody in your family, it might be you. You just pitched a fit, became a pain in the behind, listen, and it ruined everybody's meal. How many have been at a table like that before? Sickening. It's disgusting. For crying out loud, God help us, it's happening in churches. Where you're going to have your business meeting in Jesus' name. And it just turned as ugly as the day is long. How many have ever been in some of that kind of crap before? Can I see your hand? It's terrible. I know Joy doesn't like this message. You're squirming, baby. She doesn't like some of my language. But the fact of the matter is, that's the way it is. Act right. I've got 24 hours today. I'm going to sleep 8 of it. Why can't I act right? Say. Can we act right? Yes or no? Say. And when I say act, I ain't talking about putting on an act. I'm talking your actions. We have been saved. We have the Holy Spirit, the living God. But we can't control our temper. We can't stop our mouth from hurting other people or pitching a fit. Are y'all listening or not? I'm talking about preparing. And by the way, some of these big blow-ups at the dinner table or in the church house or in the business room or wherever it's at, boy, they don't necessarily just go away, do they? Boy, it takes some time to repair. I've had to do some repairing in my life. Boy, I'd much rather prepare today, make right decisions, than to repair tomorrow. Fix the wrong things I've done. So act right. Moses didn't act right. Stay away from the hot buttons. Can y'all say that with me? Stay away from the hot buttons. I'm talking about in your own life, in your own head, in your own thinking. Good grief. I tell this to married couples all the time. Learn to live with the one you're living with. Amen. Learn to know their hot buttons. Each other can know each hot button. Stay away from those. Amen. I'm different from Joy. She's different from me. I know the buttons I can push on her and get her ticked off. She knows the buttons she can push on me and get me ticked off. That's something that in our marriage relationship, we need to work on that. That doesn't happen. Y'all agree with that? Yes or no? Why? Because this is the only day she and I might ever have. I'd like to know it was a good day. Amen? It was a good day. I didn't push her butt. She didn't push mine. And we acted right. We did the right thing. Look at this. Anger is not always a bad thing. I don't have much time for pacifists. They live in a little bubble. Oh, if we just quit fighting the terrorists, they'll leave us alone and we'll live happily ever after. What planet are you living on? That's just not the way it works. I mean, it sounds good in a speech, but that's not reality. Listen, sometimes we need to be angry in situations in our family, in our world, okay? In our business, it's okay to get angry. What does the Bible say? Be angry and what? Sin not. But if you're angry and sin, that's going to be a problem, man. But if you have anger, but without sinning, that makes for peaceful days. Amen? That makes for so much more peaceful days. Why live, if this is your last day on the planet, so bent out of shape and warped that you're not going to enjoy it? Amen? I don't know if we're helping anybody. I'm trying. Amen? Trying to preach the Word. Let's look at the last one and we're done this morning. David. So these are big people. Man, Adam and Eve and Moses. And look at David, a man after God's own heart. 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 5. It came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings are supposed to go to battle that David sent Joab, his servant. David was a great warrior, but he didn't go to battle. He sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. When most kings were at battle, he wasn't. It came to pass in the evening that David arose from off his bed. He should have been on the battlefield. He's in the bedroom. And he walked on the roof of his house. And from the roof of his house, he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look on. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Don't you know who this is, who you're looking at?" And David sent messengers. And he took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, had sex with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I'm with child." That don't sound like a good day. It might have felt like a good day, but it wasn't a good day. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. If you read this story, David had to play cover up. He said, "Ooh, can I get Uriah home real quick?" And he tried to get Uriah to go and be with his wife so he could make him think that it was his baby and not David's baby. But Uriah was a fighting man. He was a valiant man. He said, "How can I sleep with my wife when the fellow's out there, on the battlefield? How can I do this thing? I can't do that." So he stepped outside the door. Tried to get him drunk. That didn't work. So he went to a horrible plan. He said, "Put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle where it's fierce. And when it's really hot and fierce, have the men pull back so Uriah will be killed on the battlefield." Isn't that a terrible story, say? And so that happened. And now Bathsheba has heard that her husband's dead and she's mourning for her husband. And then this prophet Nathan comes to David and he says, "You've tried to cover it up. It ain't covered up. God knows it. He spoke it to me. I'm telling you." He said, "You're the man. You're the man that's done such a horrible thing. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you out of the hand of Saul." Look at the scripture. "I gave you your master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel, of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover given unto thee such and such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You've taken his wife to be your wife. You've slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, David, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of your own house. I will take your wives before your eyes. I will give them to your neighbors, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst this secretly, but I will do this before all of Israel and before the sun." Here's the last thing. I'm done. Hang on. Preparation. Adam and Eve do right. Moses acts right. David. Say it with me. Look right. I'm not talking about look right like this, like plastic. I'm talking about look right. Amen? If you want to screw your day up, you start looking wrong. Amen? I'm telling you, keep looking. Let's look at something else. Stay away from suggestive places. Are y'all listening or not? This is the only day I have. Why have I got to go over there? Say. I don't have to go over here where it's suggestive. It's the only day I got. Why don't I stay over here where it's, ooh, okay, I got freedom. Look at that. I got some freedom over here. It's pretty good. I can move over here. It's nice. Why I got to go over there? Does that make any sense to anybody? Stay away from suggestive places. Amen? I'm going to be ugly, but not really. Sir, you're working with somebody. Okay? You need to quit undressing the little sweet thing in your mind. Are you listening to me? Say. Okay? Listen. Stop fantasizing about stuff you ought not be fantasizing about. Stay away. You might say, "Pastor, I can't help it. I have such a hard time. You don't know what I'm going through." All I know is you've got 24 hours in one day. You're sleeping 8 of it. And you tell me you can't stay away from suggested places the rest of your day. I think you can. How many think we can? Amen? Come on, let's praise the Lord. I think we can do this. I think we can handle this. Stay away from suggestive places. You fill in the blank, whatever that means to you. If there's something in your life that's questionable, that you know, I know this isn't going to lead to a good path for me. It could really screw up my tomorrow. Then why don't I stay away from it today? And then if I get another day tomorrow, which is today, then I'll live that day tomorrow like I did this day. Amen? It's not that hard, guys. Ladies, stay away from suggestive places. Here's a man after God's own heart. All he did was not go to battle, and he stayed where he shouldn't have been, and he started looking where he shouldn't look. And look at what happened. Being where you're supposed to makes for happy days. Amen? Doesn't it say? Woo, where you been all day, honey? Been at work. Where are you supposed to be? At work. Amen? That's where I'm supposed to be. That's where I've been. Why I got to go somewhere else? If you can't tell your wife or your husband where you been, what's wrong with you? Say. She should be able to ask me, where you been? Well, here's where I've been. If there were people where I was, they should be able to tell her, that's where I was. Why? Because that's where I was. Does that make any sense? That's crazy talk, ain't it? Tomorrow never comes. What we learned this morning, here we go, we're popping it fast. Adam and Eve, here we go. Not enough fruit, Moses. Not enough respect, David. Not enough sex. I'll do what I want, Moses. I'll act like I want, David. I'll live like I want. I won't surely die. They did. Look, it won't matter. It did. Look at this one. I won't get caught. He did. They did, it did, he did. What makes think you ain't? Say, they did, it did, he did. What makes you think living a life today that's not right, not doing right, not acting right, not looking right, you're going to fly by the seat of your pants. You're going to be fine. You're not going to be fine. Tomorrow never comes. And your tomorrow, if you get another day, it's just going to be a mess, man. They all had one thing in common, too. One common denominator. Death. Look at what happened. Pop it up. Adam and Eve, they died physically. And so do all of us now. Moses, the death of his dream. That was so close. There's the promise. It's right there. The death of his dream. Because he didn't act right. David, the death of his family. His own son tried to take his kingdom. Another son raped a half-sister. And then that son was killed. Solomon ended up being a whoremonger and a womanizer, just like his daddy. Horrible situation. Last thing, we started with procrastination. Can you say that with me? Don't put off doing right. Do it today. Number two, prognostication. Don't think too long about doing right. And number three, just do right. And do it when? Today. Because tomorrow never comes.